Everyone, you could say today's service is going to be led by McVitties. For those of you who don't get the joke, you'll get it a bit later. We've come here to sing our praise and our worship to God. So let's begin by singing Before the Throne of God Above. Let us pray. God of grace and glory, to this worried world you reveal your presence in radiant glory and in gentle whispers. You reveal yourself on mountaintops and in shadowed valleys. You reveal yourself in classrooms, hospital beds, in homes, and churches. You reveal yourself in the quiet of nature and on the busy streets. Yours is the presence that pushes past our fear to calm us. Yours is the love that transforms our debt with reassurance. We come to dwell in your goodness and offer you the praise that you deserve. God of mercy and forgiveness, we confess that there have been many things that keep us from trusting fully in your love. We are often distracted by our own desires and disappointments. We cling to anger and resentment. We fear for the future rather than seek signs of hope. Father, forgive us. Shine your love upon us so that your glory may be seen in us And give us courage to follow Jesus wherever he leads. For we pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Who likes chocolate? Chocolate is not just a confection. Chocolate is a miracle. It's a whisper from the gods. Chocolate isn't just food, it's a superhero in a wrapper. It saves a bad day and fixes grumpy moods. Chocolate is emotion made edible. Chocolate is not just a treat, it's a celebration. It's a hug that you can eat. Who would like some chocolate? Come on down. Help yourselves. There's a bit here. Yeah, you've got to come down. Come on down. Shall I move it closer to the front so you can get to it? Look. Help yourselves. She used to be indecisive, but now she's not so sure. Yeah. Yeah, help yourself. That's all right. So why do we love chocolate? Because chocolate never says clean your room. It never says you're wrong. It just says, hi, I'm delicious. Let me be your best friend. But we should give thanks for chocolate. Let us not take chocolate for granted. Let us savour it slowly with gratitude. Let us honour the farmers who cultivate it, the artisans who craft it, and the moment it sweetens our lives. Let every bite be a prayer, every bar a blessing. Can we? Sadly, sometimes we have to confess, don't we? We eat too much chocolate. It starts so innocently, doesn't it? A square, a nibble. A whisper of chocolate on your tongue. And you think, just one piece. But chocolate doesn't play fair. It seduces us. It calls us to the cupboard. We try to resist, and we do resist for a few seconds. And then there are crumbs on my shirt, smears on my fingers, and a haunting silence. Where the bar once lay. We search for someone to blame. A dog? No. The fridge? All tempting. But no. It was me. I am the villain in this chocolate-coated tragedy. Let's see the last slide. Let's go Thanksgiving. Sorry, I should have told the sound man. Thanksgiving, next one. Confession, next one. Last one, Richard, thank you. But chocolate is so special, such a special blessing. Don't you want to share it with others? So they too can receive the blessing. I found a bar divine and sweet, a silky, melting chocolate treat. My heart said, hide it, eat it alone. But then a wiser voice was shown. Share it, it whispered, soft and kind. Don't let greed control your mind. So I broke the bar in halves, well, thirds, and offered bites with loving words. The joy that bloomed was rich and wide, like caramel flowing deep inside. Smiles appeared, eyes lit with glee, all thanks to chocolate and sharing with me. So now I know this truly true. One bar shared feels like eating two. A blessing wrapped in foil and grace, chocolate shared in a world's embrace. What was that all about? What was that all about? Well, sadly, I should have asked the sound person to put the words up earlier, but if you get to that was a model of prayer. A model of prayer. Acts. We should adore God for all that he has done and all he means to us. We should confess to God the things that we've done wrong. We should thank God for his gifts to us. And there's got a word called supplication, but we should share with God our concerns. Prayer is such an interesting topic, one of the greatest privileges of the Christian church. Through the scriptures, we see prayer as the catalyst for great things happening. The Exodus was sparked by the prayers of God's people. The revivals of Solomon, Ezra, and Nehemiah were steeped in prayer. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit came during a prayer meeting. The glorious visions of Revelation came to John whilst he was praying. So why can prayer feel so difficult at times? Well, we're going to look at that a little bit today. But I thought we'd start off with a nice, cute video of some young children praying.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father.
Dear Heavenly Father, why do giraffes look so funny?
Thank you for preparing horses on the earth.
Please bless the my guys to be good so they'll be well directed.
Please help me to never go to the dentist.
Thank you for Grandpa's birthday.
Bless that I getting apples without my front tooth.
Thank you for all the doggies.
Thank you for the nice haircut.
Please help Christmas to come soon.
Thank you for the baby's haircut.
Thankful for my cat that lets me dress him in my clothes.
Thank you for Jesus' haircut.
Please help us to have pancakes in the morning.
Please bless the tooth that I can come.
Please protect us from big hungry sharks,
tsunamis and lightning,
vampires,
fires and tornadoes, and
mean fish in the ocean like piranhas.
Please bless me not to grow a beard.
Please bless that the girls won't try to kiss me at recess anymore.
Please bless for me to not get cold this Christmas.
Thank you for kitties.
Please tell Jesus to bring the dinosaurs back again.
Please bless I can share my toys with my sister.
Please bless that the Tyrannosaurus Rexes will come back to eat off the bad guys.
Please bless that we won't crash when we're driving.
Please help me to be more grateful when you bless me.
I'm thankful for this beautiful world that Jesus has created for us to live on.
Thank you for loving us, even though we make mistakes.
Please bless that my family can be together forever.
Please help me to feel bad when I make a mistake.
Please help me to be a better big brother.
Please bless the poor, even though we don't know who they are.
And we know that the spirits in our home are kind and nice.
Please bless me to see others as you see them.
Please bless I can read the scriptures even though I'm little.
Please bless me with more trials because I know that's how I grow.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Is prayer so difficult? We'll look at it a bit more. Let's sing. Father God, I place into your hands.
Father, I place into your hands the time.
Now our reading from 1 Timothy.
The reading is from 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 8. For I tell you to pray for all people, asking God for what they need and being thankful to him. Pray for rulers and for all who have authority, so that we can have quiet and peaceful lives full of worship and respect for God. This is good, and it pleases God, our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to know the truth. There is one God and one way human beings can reach God. That way is through Christ Jesus, who is himself human. He gave himself as a payment to free all people. He is proof that came at the right time. That is why I was chosen to tell the good news and to be an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. I was chosen to teach those who are not Jews to believe and to know the truth. So I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up their hands in a holy manner, without anger and arguments. Amen.
We sing again. Think. What a beautiful name.
My sin was great.
Okay, so it's nearly 11 o'clock, so it's break time. You know, I always ask you questions during your break time. So the questions I want you to ask today, we're talking about prayer, and I want you, with the people next to you, I seem to pick up some rubbish, I want you to share whether you've had a prayer which has been answered, or I want you to share with the person next to you your greatest prayer need at this moment. Right, who wants ginger nuts? Anyone for ginger nuts whilst you're doing it? Oh, no one want ginger nuts? We've got custard creams. Anyone likes custard? Is there custard creams over here? Yeah, I saw a bit of a nod. So whilst you're having your biscuits, just talk to your neighbour and say, have you had a prayer? Who wants dark chocolate digestives? Oh, yeah. Okay, well, who wants milk chocolate digestives? And who wants bourbons? Oh, bourbons. We haven't put any in this. So just share amongst here, all right? So the questions are this. And by the way, if you still have some chocolate here, help yourself to the chocolate. The question is this. Have you had a prayer answered? Share it with your person next to you. And or what's your greatest prayer need at this moment? If people are sitting on their own, you might want to shove along and talk to them. So do help yourself with the chocolates if you're tempted by the chocolate rather than the biscuits. But just think about it. We're talking about prayer. Have you had a prayer that's been answered? And what's your greatest prayer need at this time? Help yourself. No, don't be sorry. There are white chocolate ones. That's good. Okay, so don't stop those conversations because it's great to share with people and maybe carry on those conversations over coffee. But there will be a time in the service later on if somebody wants to encourage the rest of us by sharing a prayer that they've had answered, or if they want to be encouraged by the rest of us by sharing their greatest prayer need, there will be an opportunity later. See, Paul in his letter to Timothy exhorts us to make requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for everybody, especially for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all good godliness and holiness, and remembering that God wants everyone to be saved. So let me ask you a question. How many of you here believe in the power of prayer? Good. How many people here feel that you pray enough? You see, you believe that God hears our prayers and you believe that prayer can be effective. But you would have to say honestly that you probably don't pray as often as you should. Another question could be that you believe in the power of prayer and you even try to pray, but you often feel that your prayers aren't very effective. Is that you? If there was a constant in the life of Jesus, no matter what was happening, no matter how crazy life was, no matter what the disciples were doing, no matter what the Roman government were doing, no matter what the rumors were, Jesus constantly sought the Father in prayer. He prioritized the presence of God in prayer, and in his life, prayer empowered him to overcome every temptation of the evil one. Through prayer, he was able to faithfully be obedient to God. He healed people. He showed love to those who didn't love him. And when we look at the life that Jesus lived, don't we want to live like that? Don't we want to love like he loved? And so if we want the life that Jesus had, we should probably pray like Jesus prayed. So why do you think we struggle to pray consistently or to pray effectively? I think there are three very common reasons. One of the reasons is that we lack focus. You hear a message on prayer and you say, I'm going to pray more. Prayer sounds amazing, to have that special time with God. And you start praying and then you get distracted. Your mind wanders off to anything but God. It's crazy. You begin to think about what you need to do, what you've forgotten to do, who you need to talk to, what you're going to have for dinner. And can I be honest with you sometimes? Prayer can sometimes feel boring. Am I allowed to say that? Am I talking to real people today? Sometimes praying for a long time and then you get distracted and when you come back suddenly it just seems boring. Maybe that's just me. Sometimes we lack focus, and another reason many of us don't pray consistently is we lack confidence. We just say to ourselves, I really don't know how to do it. And it's especially intimidating when you're around somebody who seems to know how to pray. Does anyone have somebody like that in their lives? You know what I mean? If there was such a thing as a professional prayer, they would be it. You know, they should get paid by prayer.com. And their prayers seem so powerful, they're like a prayer warrior, and you feel that God's got to answer their prayers. You know, when they pray, they start quoting scriptures. They say, in Lamentations 3:29, you're going, is Lamentations in the Bible? And they call on the name of Jesus, they say, Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah Rapha, and you're going, Jehovah Nissan Micra? You know, and they ask you to say grace over a meal, and you're thinking, God bless this meat, now let us eat in Jesus, you know. So some people, they lack focus. And some people lack confidence. And some of us lack faith. We're not sure that God will answer our prayers. We might believe that God can answer prayers, but it doesn't seem like he's going to do it for you. And you begin to wonder, does he hear your prayers? Does he care about your prayers? And sometimes you can make a pretty strong argument that it seems that he doesn't really hear or care about your prayers because you've tried really hard. You've prayed really hard for somebody to be healed and it didn't happen. Or you've prayed for God to overcome some repetitive sin in your life and it just doesn't go away. And so you conclude, well, prayer might work for other people, but it doesn't work for me. So let's think about prayer a little bit more. And I think to understand what prayer is, I want us to start by saying what prayer is not. We have many misconceptions about what prayer is, and so I think it's good to say what prayer isn't. So first of all, prayer is not a formal presentation. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. You don't have to dress like a minister or kneel down by the side of your bed and approach God with fancy language. We beseech thee, Father, that thou wouldst do this for thou. It's not a formal presentation. Prayer is not giving God your wish list. God is not some kind of cosmic vending machine. You know, a magic genie, you rub him in the right way or you say the prayers in the right way and he's got to do exactly what you want. Prayer is also not a spiritual negotiation. You know, when you say to God, well, I'll stop doing this if you answer my prayers. I'll never lie again, God, if you'll just do this for me. I'll never do that again if you do this for me. It's not a spiritual negotiation. It's not a performance to win favor with God. It's not a performance to impress others. Prayer is not a lot of things that we think it might be. But let's look at the life of Jesus. When we look at the life of Jesus and the way he lived, we just see how he interacted with God. What we discover about the way he lived is this, that prayer isn't an action that he did, it was a way that he lived. When we look at the way Jesus lived, we see in prayer isn't a momentary action where he folds his hands and kneels in prayer and says something and then says amen. It can be, but it can be much more than that. Prayer is much more than something you just do occasionally. It's more of a way in which you live. You do read in the scriptures that Jesus would leave the crowd and he would go off and pray. And he'd go off and be alone to be with his Father. He'd get up early in the morning and pray. He'd pray late at night. He would go off alone and take to the lake and pray. He would go up the mountain and pray. He was always disconnected. He would disconnect himself from God to be fully connected with God. But these weren't the only times he prayed. Richard's going to run us through a few on the screen. According to the gospel, we can see that Jesus prayed at his baptism. He prayed in the morning before heading to Galilee. He prayed it after healing people. He prayed the night before choosing his disciples. He prayed for the little children. He prayed for himself and the disciples. He prayed right after being nailed to the cross. He prayed while dying on the cross. He prayed all throughout the day. Prayer wasn't something that he did occasionally. Prayer was a way in which Jesus lived. Some of you might be saying, that's fine, but I don't know how to pray. I don't have the time. You know, we all live busy lives. I'm out at work 12 hours a day. We have busy lives. And when you get to the time in your life where you say, actually, I haven't got time to pray, that's the time you need to pray the most. There could be nothing more productive in your life than spending time and seeking the heart of God, inviting his power and his presence and his strength to be with you. I mean, we all know it's tough out there in the real world. It can be brutal. I mean, it's almost impossible to walk in the world and be full of joy and peace and grace with all the chaos around you. It's hard to be an effective witness when all you see is division everywhere that you go. You see the tension, the relational stress, the financial pressures, the temptations, all those complicated decisions you have to make. I don't know about you, but I need God's presence. I need his power. I need his grace all day and every day. I don't just need it for a few minutes that I'm in prayer. I need it all the time. Prayer isn't just a momentary action. It is that, but it can be much, much more. When you look at the way Jesus lived, prayer wasn't just something he did. It was the way in which he interacted with God in every moment of every day. So can I encourage you, firstly, put aside a time and spend a few moments with God, disconnected from this world and connecting with the Lord, because intimacy is never accidental. You never just accidentally become close to God. You don't accidentally fall into it. It doesn't happen that way. If I think of my relationship with Joss, my wife, if there was no intimate focus time, if there was no time that I spent to be close with God, if we did only talk with Joss, if I only talked to each other 15 minutes a day, and that was it, what sort of relationship would that be? If you don't spend time alone with God, it's going to be hard to have a relationship with him. You may say, but what do I pray about? When I'm alone with God, what do I pray about? And the answer is easy. Pray about whatever you care about. Whatever is on your mind, whatever is on your heart, whatever you're excited about, whatever questions you have, whatever you are burdened about, pray about it. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. Talk to him like he's a close friend, because he is. If you have questions, ask him. If you're mad at him or hurt him, tell him. He can handle it. Just pour out your heart to God. Talk to him intimately. It's not an act. It's a friendship. It's a relationship based on love. See, what I want us to remember and understand is that God does not want to be a part of our lives. Just the 5 minutes of prayer in the morning. And then God says, have a good day. See you the same time tomorrow. Hope everything goes okay today. No, God is in all of our lives. He's in every part of what matters in your lives. And he promises he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Since he is always with you, prayer isn't just an action you do. It's a way in which you live. I mean, have you ever felt guilty about your prayer life? When you read verses like 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, never stop praying, pray without ceasing. And sometimes I struggle to pray for 5 minutes straight without being distracted. And Thessalonians is saying, I've got to pray without ceasing, pray continually, never stop praying. And then it dawned on me. As I looked at the way in which Jesus lived, prayer wasn't just an action. Prayer was a way of life. It was the ongoing awareness that God never leaves you and never forsakes you. He is with you. And so you can talk to him at anywhere, at any time. You don't have to break away and kneel down and fold your hands. You can just talk to him on your drive to work. You can talk to him when you're at work. You can talk to him when that other person's getting on your nerves. And you can ask God to give you grace for that person. You can talk to God when you're about to lose your anger, lose your temper. Talk to God when you forget something, when you can't find your keys, when you're worried about something. Just talk to him like a friend, because he is. He's the best friend you will ever have. So yes, prayer is getting alone with God, but it's also much more than that. Prayer is living in God's presence. Prayer is experiencing God's grace. Prayer is hearing his whispers throughout the day, enjoying his power, experiencing his peace. Prayer isn't just getting God to do what we want. Prayer is about aligning our will to his will. And when you're walking with God, when you're in the Spirit, and when you're aware of his presence, it will convict you of your sins, but in a loving way. He'll comfort you in the middle of your trials. When you walk in the spirit of prayer, you will sense his direction. You'll notice him guiding you. You'll hear his promptings to reach out to someone. Your heart starts to hurt over what breaks his heart. Your heart starts to rejoice over the things that bring him joy. Start walking in a life of prayer. We'll look about how we can do that practically a little bit later. We're going to sing now, To Be in Your Presence. So as I've already said, prayer is not an action that you do. It's a way in which you live in the ongoing presence of God. But I want to think about some practical ways in which you can do that. So let's think about it. What I would say is that When you get up in the morning, give God your waking thoughts. You remember that song we used to sing? This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice. That's a great way to start the day, isn't it? That's a great way to start the day, isn't it? Saying to God that this is the day that you have made, and I'm going to be glad and I'm going to rejoice in it. God, you say to God, God, I'd love you to direct my steps today. God, help me to see where there are needs. Help me to speak words of life and encouragement to people. God, convict me of anything that may be out of line with your will. But God, I'm going to devote my whole day to you. That's a good start. So you give God your waking thoughts, and you also give God your waiting thoughts. Whatever you are waiting on. If you're praying for the salvation of a loved one, or you're praying for provision, or you're praying for a breakthrough, whatever it is that you're waiting on God for, just take it to him again and pray. Give him your waking thoughts, give him your waiting thoughts, and throughout the day, give him your whispered thoughts. Because what I would say to you is that you may not always want to shout out your prayers in the middle of the office. You probably don't want to call on the name of Jesus to bind up a demon in the middle of the office out loud. But there are times when you whisper to God to help you. Quietly, God, help me with this difficult situation. God, give me wisdom. God, would you help me do a good job on this presentation? God, would you give me the words to say in this difficult conversation? God, would you help me to connect with my family? God, help me to welcome home my partner when they've had a difficult day at work. God, would you help me to be the voice of encouragement to someone that I love? You whisper your thoughts. So you start with your waking thoughts, you give God your waiting thoughts, and you give him your whispered thoughts. And at the end of the day, you give him your waning thoughts. At the end of the day, you look back and say, God, here's where I saw you today. Here's where I experienced you today. God, here's what I'm thankful for today. And then finally, whatever burdens you have before you go to bed, give it to God. Cast your burdens upon him because he cares for you. And so you say to God, look, God, I'm giving you this, and I'm trusting you to handle it, and I'm going to go to sleep right now. And tomorrow morning, first thing, I'm going to give you my waking thoughts. You see, prayer isn't just something that you do, it's a way in which you live. If you want to be prayer guilt-free, just be aware that God is with you right now. He's always with you. He's always loving you. He never leaves you and he will never forsake you. So what you do is you find a place and you pray. And then you never stop praying. And you never stop being aware that at any moment, God is just a prayer away. Just like texting a friend or calling a loved one. You're talking to Jesus. And you don't stop praying. And then you find that you begin to walk in the Spirit. And you're living in his love. And you become more aware of his goodness. And you're experiencing his grace. And you sense that when you're weak, his strength makes you strong. And when you're tempted, his power will help you overcome. And when you're discouraged, he's the lifter up of your head. And suddenly you find yourself walking in God's presence. You're aware of his comfort. You're aware when he convicts you, when he strengthens you, when he loves you, when he prompts you, when he guides you. And suddenly you wake up and you're not just believing the truth that Jesus taught, but you're living it. You're living it. Let's pray. So, Father, we're talking to you just like we talk to a friend. And God, I'm asking you to draw near to your children, your friends today. Draw them closer to you. Help us to find a place where we can be alone with you, and help us to make that a priority. But help us not to stop there, but to continue in an ongoing relationship, knowing that you're always with us. You always care. You're here with us now. You're just a prayer away. And so, because you're with us, Lord, help us to reach out to experience you. Help us to reach out in your love. Help us to worship you. And help us to share your goodness with others today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sit and listen to a song now. It's a new song. It's a song that touches me quite a lot. Hopefully it'll touch you as well. It says, "I speak Jesus." And so it's a song, the words will be on the screen, so you can sing it through. But it's a song where we're saying, "I speak the name of Jesus in a different situation." So sit, sing if you feel able to, but just listen to the words and read them. We're speaking Jesus into situations in our lives.
Just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. now Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, or every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, or every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak.
So when we had our break, you had the opportunity to talk to your colleagues, friends, about prayers that have been answered, or what your greatest prayer need was. Would anyone want to come up and share a prayer that's been answered? So that we can all be encouraged. Yep, great. Yeah, that's fine. That's great. I'm not used to it either. You have to, so they can hear you, just by the mic. Brilliant.
I kind of lost my oldest daughter for 8 years, and God taught me a lot about prayer through that time. I had to be very patient, and I had to wait until the time was right that I could understand why we were not together, what was going on, and I had to wait until we were both in the right place for us to heal and for me to have her back in my life. And it was the most wonderful thing. And I do like to tell people how it's happened and why it's happened. But it was very hard for me learning to leave it in God's hands and ask him every day, can I have understanding? Can you give her my love? Can you heal this situation so that I may have her back in my life? And I do have her back in my life. She reached a point where she had understanding that she needed her mum as much as her mum needed her. So I wanted to share with you because I've learned such a lot through that 8 years of... God was very patient with me through that time. And then when we were both ready, he gave us back to each other. And that has been a huge joy in my life. And this is the first time that I've ever been able to share. It was like a few years ago. It's the first time I've ever been able to share publicly. This is what he's done for me. And this is a real joy. So thank you. This has been a real blessing for me. And I felt God asked me to do this morning. So thank you for listening. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for that encouragement. Anyone else?
God answers prayer. About 6 weeks ago, I had a CT scan, and they found a shadow on my right lung, which wasn't great news. I then went back for another CT scan. They changed the settings a little bit, and went and had some tests done on my breathing. 2 days ago, went to see the doctor at the JR, at Churchill, actually. My lungs are clear. That is answered prayer. Thank you.
God can do miracles. Yeah. A lot of you know my story, but I'll do it briefly now. You get to a certain age in a relationship when all your friends around you are having children. And you get to a point where you go, okay, it's time for us to have children. You think it's just like turn a switch on, you can have children, you know? But it didn't happen for me and Joss. Not to go into too much detail, we tried temperature, timing, and all the other things you have to try, you know? And then we went to the doctors, and we started doing all the tests. And then we had that final meeting. To start with, they treat you separately. Like Joss went to her doctor and I went to my doctor. And we got to the John Radcliffe and we met this consultant and this very eminent person sat in front of us at the desk. And he said, I've got the test results. And he said, you're not going to be able to have children. Naturally, you're going to have to go through, it was called ICSI, IVF or whatever you want to call it. And this went on for about half an hour, three quarters of an hour, telling us what the process was and that sort of stuff. And then he said, you've got any questions? And so Joss and I said, yeah, we got one question. We did a pregnancy test last night and it was positive. And he said, oh, congratulations. And I said, well, no, it's not as simple as just congratulations. I said, we've been trying for years and... you know, it's just a couple of pixels have changed colour. You know what I mean? We need a bit more than that. So we actually had a scan at 7 weeks and saw Bethany's heartbeat at 7 weeks. God answers prayers. Our prayer at the time for Joss and I, we didn't think we were going to have children. And we were praying that God would help us to cope with that. You know? Cope with that. And that was going to be hard. But all our friends were praying that we'd have children. And God listened to their prayers, and we now have two children. Bethany, who's a pharmacist, and Samuel, who's a chemical engineer. So God does answer prayers. Okay, the second side of that was prayer needs. I know this is a bit braver. You have to be a bit braver. But does anyone wish to share a prayer need that they have so that we as a church can support them in that?
Hello. Many of you know I work for the Methodist Church in Britain. I'm going to ask you to pray for me and the team as we work for the Methodist Church in Britain at this time. We've become aware that Tommy Robinson, you know, the Unite the Kingdom person, wants to run an event in London before Christmas called Put Christ Back into Christmas. And the sort of things that they stand for aren't very Christ-like. So we have to make some choices as to how we respond to that as a church. And I'm going to be over the next week or so working with denominational leaders in London to see how we can support the real message of Christmas, which is about welcome and hope and love for everybody, not about some of the things that the far right stand for. We really need to pray into that situation, that the real gospel is shared and not the false one, and for community cohesion across our country. So that's my prayer request deep from my heart this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, it was on the news this morning about... Yeah. Okay. Can we just have the video of the Eternal Wall? So you may or may not know about this. There's a thing called the Eternal Wall. And so basically this is an ambitious national program, landmark, that's going to be built. Currently under development, building. They've actually broken ground now, just north of Birmingham, I think it is. And it aims to be the largest collection of testimonials to answered prayer in the world. So it's going to take about 1 million bricks to make it. And every single brick will be about an answered prayer. It's expected to be finished in 2028. And it's going to be, I think it's going to be 40 metres tall, which is about twice as high as the Angel of the North. It's going to be a massive testament to this country of how God has answered prayer. People were invited to submit their answered prayers, and they're going to be etched into each of the bricks. Yeah. So God does answer prayer. God is a living God who cares for us, who will answer our prayers if we're brave enough to ask. You've got something going on here coming up in the next few weeks, and Brenda is going to talk about a great activity you've got coming here. Brenda. Actively also needs your prayers.
About 35 years ago, my friend Lizzie's little boy was about 6. And going home after church, the beginning of December, Liz asked Joe what he had done in Sunday school that morning. And with all the disdain that a 6-year-old could muster, he said, "Do you know that Christmas story is about the baby Jesus again?" Lucky Joe, we might say. A couple of years ago, when we were doing Experience Christmas, had a year 3 class in, they're 6 or 7 years old, and one child said to a leader, "Do you know, I've never heard that story before." Never heard that story before. The wonderful story of a baby born in a stable and shepherds and wise men and all coming to see this baby born for us all. Not every child is as lucky as Joe was. And that's why every year, for the last 10 years or so, we've offered Experience Christmas to about 8 local primary schools to try and ensure that 6- and 7-year-olds in Whitney know the true story of Christmas. And that's why some of us are telling the Godly Play story in year 2 class in one school in Whitney, and hopefully perhaps to more in the future. And that's why there are displays set up around the church. There's one over there with stars in the sky, There's one over there in the prayer corner. There's one behind you with gold cloth. One in the corner over there. And hidden behind the singers is the Advent ring. They're all set up for Experience Christmas, which actually started on Thursday. So we're a little bit late this year. And we'd like to invite you simply to go round and have a look after the service. And at each one of these, there will be one of the team. We've got a team of 18 people. It's wonderful. But there'll be one person at each of these displays to tell you in more detail what's going on in that corner. So when the class come in, they'll be divided up into little groups and spend 10 minutes at each one and learn a bit more, dig a bit deeper, think about questions. How does this relate to my life? What would I have done if I had been there? That sort of thing. But one of those 8 schools is too far away for the children to walk here. So they come by bus. And we think that no child should have to pay to hear the good news. And for some children, that money would be better spent on food or going towards a new pair of winter shoes. So I'd like to say a big thank you to those who were here in September when we made a similar plea for children from that school to come to Experience Harvest. But I'm sure there's others here this morning, and maybe there's some of the same people, and you'd like to be generous again today. Just to help towards paying the bus fares. Maybe for you, the price of a cup of coffee or a slice of cake in a cafe. Just to come and experience Christmas for one morning and learn about the mystery of the coming of Jesus. So there are 2 plates at the back as you leave. There's also the card machine over there as another way of giving. And it doesn't matter. However much you would like to give, it will be welcome. And perhaps you'd like to find out a bit more about how you could help with Experience Christmas, or perhaps with Godly Play. And I'll be in that corner over there. So you can come and talk to me, and I can write your name on a list to remind me in the future. And please, very appropriate service this morning, thank you very much, but please remember to pray for Experience Christmas, for the children who come, for the families from which they come, for the leaders, the people, the 18 people who will be here over the next 3 weeks. We need your prayers. And Graham's going to lead us this morning. Thank you very much.
There's going to be some words on the screen. And I'm going to say the white type, and you're going to say what's in the yellow type. Today we take the time to think about the church's outreach to children, particularly through the Experience Programme. We hold in our hearts the children who will join us to the Experience Christmas throughout this coming month. Lord, we pray for these children and the homes from which they come. We pray that they will come with open hearts and curious minds, experience something of your love. We pray for the teachers and helpers who guide them, that they may experience your presence alongside them. We pray for our volunteers who give their time and energy, that their experience of you is light and life to all they meet. Lord Jesus, bless the ministry of experience that tells us of your birth. May all that we do bring glory to your name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing our final song, Cornerstone. Thank you.
So don't forget, the prayer ministry will be over by the organ today if you feel you have need of prayer. Don't stop those stories where you've been sharing about prayers that have been answered and your prayer needs for your friends and fellow members of the church here. But let's bless each other in the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.